Do you ever listen to some of the words of those songs? For instance, the sound of hearts returning to him. Have you ever heard the sound of a heart returning to the Lord? I can hear one beat occasionally, but the sound of a heart returning to the Lord. We're in the book of Hebrews this morning. We're still in chapter 11. And we'll be looking at verses 17 through 22. But we read last week how God was not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham and his family. And we look at Abraham, and he excelled in faith, but he also failed in faith. But God was not ashamed of him. And Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, they had enough difficulties in their life for them to consider that their hope is not in this life, but it's in the Lord. A few years back out in California, the Calvary that Lori and I attended, we were involved in a home study. And the subject of the home study that week was the rapture of the church. One young mother who had a couple young little toddlers admitted life for her was kind of tied up into her children and her husband. And she confessed that she was happily married and she was anxious to see how her children would turn out, what they'd grow up to be, and so forth. And the rapture to this young mother, going to meet the Lord in the air, did not hold all the ambitions that a lot of us held. And she did not necessarily look to the rapture of the church. And with that, an older person there in the study piped up and he said, "If you had a few more heartaches and a few more disappointments, you might change your outlook on the rapture." Boy, did the study get quiet then. For we realize, and our hopes can change when life hands us problems, trials, and difficulties. This mother was full of hope for her children and excitement for herself and her family. But you know, that older person that spoke up was almost prophesying because within 1 year, life changed for this young mother. And things got kind of sour in her life. Her husband left her for a younger woman. She was now caught up in a battle of custody for her children. And the words of that older saint were very real to her now. For this mother's life was now completely shattered, for she had all her hopes and her aspirations tied up in her family. And now she found herself just trying to make it from one day to the next. And going to be with Jesus had a completely different meaning to her now. Now, Abraham was called by God, "Leave your homeland." And Abraham began to look to the heavenly call to a city whose builder and maker was God. And because it's impossible to please God apart from faith, God will at times lead us into trials, difficulties, where we must exercise faith. He wants to be pleased with us, so sometimes he sets the circumstance where we must exercise faith. And if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you can realize sometimes things get difficult. Our Lord doesn't have any silver spoon children. So let's read this morning about Abraham's test of his faith. And that's in Hebrews 11, 17 through 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figuratively sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt, he's speaking, and gave instructions concerning his bones. Any of us who ascribe to prosperity doctrine and beliefs, notice Abraham was tested by God. God has spoken to Abraham. And in Genesis, let me read you a couple verses what God said to Abraham. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains on which I shall tell you.'" Here in Genesis, not only is Isaac Abraham's only begotten son, but he was divinely born when Abraham and Sarah were very old in age. And it's Isaac whom you love, Abraham, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me. Abraham, I'm sure, was puzzled and grieved by this command by God, but he was obedient and he rose up early the very next morning to go at the command of God and offer up Isaac. Here's the dilemma. God has commanded Abraham to kill his only son in a burnt offering. Offer up this son whom all the promises of God must come through. They got to come through Isaac. What is God doing? Quite simple. It's a test. A severe test ordered by God. God has made it clear to me, clear to Abraham, rather, offer me Isaac, your only begotten, the son you love. Offer him to me, Abraham. Now, if I were Abraham, I would be totally puzzled by this command of God. But by faith, Abraham is obedient. For we read that he accounted that God was able to raise Isaac up from the dead if Abraham will simply be obedient to the Lord. Abraham has exercised resurrection faith in the power of God. Abraham, there's no delay in his life about obeying God. He rises up early the next morning, ready to go and obey God. Abraham's faith in God had to be greater than the death of his son that he knew was coming. But in the heart and mind of Abraham, he's already offered up Isaac, but he believes God is able to raise Isaac from the dead. Now, think with me here. Abraham had another son, Ishmael. But God does not recognize the son of the bondwoman, regardless of what the Muslims believe. They believe Abraham offered up Ishmael. Here's the thing. Has God ever put you or myself to a test so severe? Has he ever put his finger upon some special love or blessing in your life? Since I'm up here, I'll tell you mine. I'll repeat a story that I shared not long ago with our men's group on Wednesday night. Now, as a person, I'm about as country as country can get. I'm a country boy. And I've always been fascinated by flowing water. Rivers, creeks, they got a special place in my heart. And they're beautiful to me. I can sit by a river and watch it flow and be very content just sitting there doing that. And when we moved from Southern California to Northern California years ago, I was determined to find a piece of land on a river. And it took several years. I searched for several years, but Lori and I found 28 acres on the Stanislaus River. Pristine, clean, flowing river. And we managed to buy that piece of land. And I thoroughly enjoyed this river. I would take our dog down there and throw sticks out in the river, and she would retrieve them, and just plain enjoyed the river. But our annual payment on that piece of land was difficult each and every year. You had to come up with this giant once-a-year payment. But we managed to do that. But then God began to work on my heart to sell this piece of land, this piece of land that I loved. And I went through all the arguments that you can muster up. Lord, it's by your grace that I live in this beautiful place. You have provided this piece of land for me. You can't be asking me to sell it. But he was. And I battled the Lord for over a year to even put it up for sale. But I finally gave in to the Lord and put our little piece of paradise on the market. I only had one stipulation. I wanted three times what I paid for it. Yeah, make a little money on it, you know. 90 days on the market, no buyer. And I'm happy that I've obeyed God. But the land did not sell. Yippee! But to show God how serious I was about obeying him, I put it on the market again for 90 days. Still, no buyer. And I'm happy. But I had a rich doctor that lived next door. And he asked me, "Are you still wanting to sell your land?" Oh, no. And I said, "Yeah, I'm willing to sell it." He ended up buying the land, but he said, "I don't care if you move out or not. You can live right where you're at. It's fine with me." And the only difference now is I've received payment for the land. I can still live there and enjoy it, but I can't call it mine. And that was the only difference. But that sale of that piece of land put us on our way to financial independence. We bought a couple more farms, and we profited off of both of those when we moved here to Alabama. And today, we have a little farm. And I have three small creeks on that little farm and a few cows. So I'm back happy. I'm out in the country. All this to say, God was watching out for Lori and myself all along. Like I said, I shared this with our Wednesday night men's group, and sorry, guys, same old stories. You know, what can I tell you? But moving back to Abraham and his family, by faith, Isaac blessed his sons, Jacob and Esau, concerning things that were to come. Jacob becomes the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob blessed each son and even the grandsons in Joseph. And we read Jacob worshiped God, leaning on his shepherd's staff. Joseph, right before he dies in Egypt, he tells him, take my bones out of Egypt when you leave and do not bury my bones in Egypt. Take them with you. Bury them in the promised land. But back to Jacob. The reason he leans on the staff is his hip is out of joint from a wrestling match that he had with the angel of the Lord. And he leans on his staff. His battle with the Lord is over. And now Jacob is known as Israel. Name change. Interesting study on Jacob. He's called Jacob when Scripture refers to him in a carnal, hereditary sense. But when Jacob is referenced in a spiritual way, he's called Israel. Israel, governed by God. But we go through several name changes in Scripture. Sarai becomes Sarah. Abram becomes Abraham. Simon becomes Peter. Saul becomes Paul. And there are other changes. I have the curse of going by my middle name. If you go by your middle name, every document you ever sign is confusing. And a few years ago, I had minor surgery. I'm lying there in the recovery room, and of all things, I'm contemplating, thinking about my name, Don. Who would name their child Don? And this is going through my head. Well, I was in the third grade in school before I realized my name was not Donnie. That's what everybody called me, Donnie. And I have cousins to this day who still call me Donnie. But when I looked at my birth certificate, it clearly says Dane, D-A-N-E. Why they call me Don, I don't know. Now, Dane, Don, Donnie, my middle name. And to this day, on anything legal that I sign, there's confusion that surrounds my name. I sign checks, H. Don Hawkins. I get a prescription filled, Howard Hawkins, that's my first name. I clearly do not know who I am. So if you address me, just call me, hey you. Well, I'll answer. My mother would call out Howard Don when I was in trouble as a child. So just be kind to me, call me Don or Pastor Don, whatever, and I'll try to answer. But Abraham was obedient, and he became a nation of God's chosen people. Abraham's faith and obedience was well-pleasing to God. And as we read last week in our text, God was not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham. What a paradox it is as we go through as believers. Peter and the disciples are asked by Jesus, who do you say that I am? Peter answers and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, growing up or being a Christian, sometimes we can be shy or timid to confess our Lord and Savior, and that should never be. It's an honor and a blessing to be called a child of God, to be called a Christian. And we have opportunities to please God in difficult times with our faith. So don't shy away from those difficult moments, those difficult times where you have to stand up and take a stand. Life's greatest blessings for us may be waiting to be faithful in a difficult time. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God,